Brad Lacey with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are joined today by Brother Paige Tyler, 12-step ministry guru extraordinaire, or at least that's how he likes to describe himself. I jest, I describe him that way myself. He is a dear brother, a dear friend, a trusted colleague in ministry. Brother Paige, welcome back.
Thank you, Pastor Lacey. It's been, it is a pleasure, as always.
Now, which word do you take exception to, the word guru or the word extraordinaire?
Both. I'm just a struggling sinner like the rest of us, trying to do my best, that's all.
However, you open your arms wide, welcomingly and hospitably, to the very concept of step two, do you not?
Amen. And that is, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity.
Well, this is predicated, before we launch into a discussion of step two. Step two, obviously, is predicated upon step one. So just quickly, what is step one?
Step one was we were powerless over our separation from, we admitted we were powerless over the effects of our separation from God. And that, our lives had become unmanageable.
Well, I am struck by the fact that in step one, we're having to acknowledge something. And in step two, there's a growth at play, because now we're coming, not simply acknowledging something on our end, but we're having now to believe in something beyond us. That's growth, isn't it?
Yes.
Acknowledging the problem and beginning to believe in a course of action.
Acknowledging that we are crippled in some way and that we are beyond human repair and that we need some power greater than ourselves that would restore us to whole and completeness, or sanity in this case. The great example here, I chose a great example. As you know, I always try to choose a great example. Great example here.
You are a great example, Paige.
Oh, thank you, Bradley.
True. Yeah, I mean that.
I'm going to look at at Luke, Luke 8, 43, and I'm going to read through, I believe, 45 through 46. And as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowded and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. She told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Yeah. So here is the case of a person who is doing nothing more than in her heart. Now we know that also this story is also told in Matthew. And in Matthew it points out that she has spent all of her money on human doctors. So she apparently was a wealthy woman who had spent all of her money on human doctors. We know that in Leviticus, because she was bleeding, she was considered unclean and was no longer able to go into the temple. So therefore, she could not participate in any holy rituals for the 12 years that she was bleeding. And she had spent all her money, and she had no way out. We also know from Matthew, that she thought in her heart that if I could only touch the hem of his garment, that I will be healed. And therefore, and as she reached out and executed in faith, touching the hem of his garment, she was instantly healed. That is what we, that is the state that we are in step two. We are helpless. We are powerless from step one. We're powerless. We came to believe that a power greater than us is the Lord Jesus, even though he's surrounded by the crowd, that if we could only touch the hem of his garment, then he will be the one who will save us. And if we push and press, and we do that through the steps, pressing through the crowd by executing the steps, we touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and we are healed.
An observation, if I may, just perhaps by way of qualification or clarification. We are not intending to communicate to our audience that there is anything wrong or inappropriate with seeking medical counsel, simply if only because the book that from which you have just read, the Gospel of Luke, was written by a medical practitioner.
Right.
He is not offended by this concept that we're putting forward. He is himself adhering to it. So we are not minimizing the role of medical counsel and treatment, but we are getting down to a more fundamental and deeper level of reality concerning our own lives, are we not?
Correct. What we're executing here is, having done all, stand on your faith. This woman had done all that she could possibly do. The only thing she had left to stand on was her faith. And she stood on her faith. So for sure, go to a doctor. Please, God made doctors too. You know, he created them as well. And remember, man occurs naturally in nature. So anything that is a byproduct of man isn't something that is artificial. Anything that's a byproduct of man occurs naturally in nature as well, because man occurs naturally in nature. That's a misconcept that we have in our society.
Because when all was said and done, with the best of intentions on the part of the medical profession, this lady had yet to be healed. She turned to what was left. And when push comes to shove, what was left was what should have been first already. The medical profession falls into its proper place, as everything else in life does. But our first order of business is who we are vis-a-vis the Lord God Almighty.
Yep, and she's an example of exactly what we always do. We always put all these things in front of God. Then when we get down to where we've exhausted all these things and everything that we can possibly think of, then we finally, throwing our hands up, say, oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. I make the observation, and I'm a man. I'm a cardiac patient, so I'm taking a number of medicines daily. So this is by no means to cast aspersion upon the role of medicines. But you later, I'll be going to the local CVS for myself and for my daughter. The amount of trust and investment that the greater mass of humanity puts into the men and women working the pharmaceutical counter and the effects of the product that will be transferred into the customer's hands. I mean, it's staggering. If we could have put our trust... even of comparable value, into the hands of the Lord Almighty, perhaps the percentage of people needing all of those drugs would be fewer. Perhaps.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, perhaps. Because I'm a firm believer in executing both. I believe in both. I put my faith in God, and I also try to find a doctor that I trust. And I read about the medicines that I take so I know what their side effects are, so I can also trust them.
Well, I would put it this, I would just phrase it differently. I agree with you. I put my trust in God, and I'm grateful to him for the provision of the doctors. There's a classic line from the movie Battle of Britain. Laurence Olivier is playing Commander Dowding, who is entrusted with the RAF and the oncoming onslaught with the Nazis. And he's told by a member of the press, "So, Commander Dowding, you pray to God and put your trust in radar." And Dowding's response was, "No, I trust in God and I pray for radar." There's a profound distinction in approach and outlook there. A fine line, and yet a profound distinction.
Exactly.
As there is, Paige, between the first segment of this broadcast and the second. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Stoddard, we return with the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler returning with a second round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Brother Paige, as we've just been taking the measure to a limited degree, as much as a few moments of time would allow, betwixt medical practice on the one and God's direct intervening hand on the other, we both concur as followers of Christ, notwithstanding the value of the medical profession. By no means are we casting aspersion, but when all is said and done, it is ultimately mano mano between us and God. Where we stand in his presence, who he is to us, will make a considerable and transformative difference to our lives. So I'd like for you to pick up with step two from there.
Exactly. And where we are here is, because we're not dealing with physical disability at this point, what we have done is we have allowed our lives to become unmanageable because we have allowed ourselves to drift away from the life that God had laid out for us originally. And now we were on our own course. We're kind of like the disciples on the Sea of Galilee in the middle of the night with the storm. We're now on our own course and we're panicking. We're going, oh Lord, we're sinking, we're sinking. And the Lord, who is comes across walking on the water, looks at us and goes, "You little faithless things, you. All you needed was faith." So all we're asking for here in step two is the mustard seed of faith, the little tiny bit of faith. Stop believing in yourself and your great wisdom and your great knowledge and start believing that there is something bigger and badder and better than you.
Would it,
that's all you ask for here.
Would it be helpful? You may, perhaps you may, I don't know. You may suggest that I'm stepping beyond the immediate. The faith does not have to be large. It can be the size of a mustard seed, which is minuscule, to put it mildly. But I right. would also suggest it must be in earnest. You know, I've learned when I cry out to God in desperation, that's when he answers. I mean, if I petition him, I wait in the queue for my answer. He'll get to me when he gets to me. I say that with reverence. But when I cry out to him, there's an immediate answer. That faith the size of a mustard seed, it still needs to be earnest. It can't be diluted by crippling doubt.
Right. You.
How do you feel?
You bring up a good point. And I've found the same thing in my life, too. And I've come to understand that it's the difference between asking my parent for that toy that I really, really want, and they buy it for me for maybe my birthday or for Christmas, and falling on my knees and crying out that I have really hurt myself and I'm crying for my mother or my father to come and help me. There's a completely different response. And when you fall on your knees before God and cry out, you get the response of a parent rushing to a child who is crying out for them from God.
Yes.
So you get an immediate response.
This is an interesting parallel, Paige. I'm sure you'll appreciate it, being an animal lover. I saw something on a Facebook reel just within the last week. A she-dog, a female, had a little puppy. And she was very instinctively aware of the animal hospital. Animals are very intelligent. Her puppy was very sick. The mother dog took her puppy to the front door of the animal hospital because she instinctively knew they could help her puppy. They helped her puppy. They let the mother stay right with the puppy through the whole ordeal. And it was extraordinary. But that dog knew that it needed a human, someone who had skill beyond mere instinct. As human beings, we could take a cue from the dog. We need help from one beyond merely human skill, but we need one who is sovereign over all of creation.
Exactly. Exactly. And we need to be as acutely aware of our Heavenly Father and His ability to help us when we have run out of our strength, and His ability to pick us up when we are falling down, as the animals are, as of our ability to help them when they need it. There's other examples of animals, you know, wild animals actually seeking out human help, knowing that the humans can help.
It's interesting that for animals, their instincts are sound. For us, our instincts are damaged by sin. And so instinctively, we tend to be fleshly creatures. And we're hoping, I mean, you and I both have met people. They don't even have the proverbial pot to tinkle in. And yet they're still cocksure with pride. I mean, instinctively, yep. They still think that they're okay or they can get it done. So our instincts, that, by my estimate, are the final frontier for the Holy Spirit. But we would do well to see past our instincts and just plead God's mercy at this point.
Amen. Amen. At this point, we are, number one, helpless because we're powerless. And, by the way, we're admitting that we are a little crazy.
Yeah.
Because it says, restore us to sanity. Well, God's a polite individual. He's not going to come right out and call you crazy. But you might want to act a little bit more sane than what you acted.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because no matter who the politician is, it can be Donald Trump, it can be Barack Obama. Take your pick who you prefer. You and I both have our preferences. You study history and you discover something. History is one long road of humankind trying to go about its own way, and for all of our advances, we are still where we started out from. Sin creatures who are having to confront one day death, and in the interim, we have all kinds of problems that we can't seem to solve.
I can't believe with the stacks of books of history that we have, with all the mountains of anthropologic information, we can't see ourselves going around over and over and over again creating the exact same mistakes that all the societies have done before us. You know?
Yeah.
Lose.
And even along with the library of books, the think tank institutions,
yeah.
Right?
What good are they if you don't pay attention to what you've already done and you're going to retread the same failed tire over and over and over again and try to go down the same hot desert road with that retread tire, it's going to fail every time.
Well, I'll put it this way. I look back and I rather like and even prefer the cushiness of being a little child safely ensconced in my mother's bosom. It was a safe place, right?
Amen.
As an adult, I rather like the notion of being able to run to my Heavenly Father and know that there is an hospitable haven for me. Brother, more on this in the next segment. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler returning with the third round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Paige, we were speaking of the libraries of human wisdom. We were expressing reference to the think tanks, and why hasn't more come forth concerning the betterment of humankind? Certainly, we've made advances technologically, perhaps even half the world politically, but we still are all beset by the same sin condition. I share a story coming from the great Cotter Conlon, the former senior pastor of Times Square Church in Manhattan. He tells the story of having been invited into a corporate boardroom in New York City. Some of the leading Fortune 500 CEOs were present for this meeting. They invited Conlon in to speak to them. And Conlon was addressing, well, he was speaking the message of the gospel to them, and essentially he was on step two, whether he realized it's another issue. But basically he was confronting these powerful men with their need for a savior. And some of the most powerful men in the world, half the room, literally found themselves breaking down in tears like babies. For all of their power and prestige and clout, they had to reckon with the fact that they still needed more than they had. And we're here at step two.
Right. We're exactly where we need much more than what we have. And where God says, I mean, the scripture associated with step two is, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Philippians 2:13. So in all of this going on around us, which is the reason why I find peace in the middle of all this turmoil, I know that it is God who's working out the end to the solution, which is for the good of all of his people. And there may be, he has already told us there's going to be super turmoil on the way to get to his solution, because his solution is not going to come the way we think. It's going to come the way he thinks, and it's going to be permanent. It's not going to be temporary. And so in the midst of all this turmoil, I can sit back and say, I know that my God is working in me and in my life in a way that will, that is in alignment with his will and according to his good purpose in my life. And all I got to do is get in alignment with it. All I got to do is just stay in alignment with God's will. My biggest problem on this planet is me getting out of alignment with God's will.
Yeah.
And I can do that on any given day.
It's instinctive.
Yeah, how much?
It's instinctive.
Yeah. I mean, how much Bible I read, how many Bible studies I go to, how much prayer and meditation I do, I can wake up on any given morning and get right out of line with God's purpose for my life and go off on my trip, which I think is so right.
Yeah.
Until I hit the wall.
Well, I have two responses. The one, the 12-step ministry is ultimately the development of right habits. Am I correct?
Correct.
Christianity is ultimately the development, the Christian life is ultimately the development of new habits. We habituate ourselves away from our fleshly condition and towards Almighty God. And it's helpful to know, and this is a text from Scripture that in more recent times, I'm beginning to quote almost every time I preach. It has begun to mean so much to me. Jesus said, and I believe you find it in the Gospel of John, "My Father is always at his work, and I too am always working." Well, what is that work? In part, I mean, he's busy maintaining the universe, I get that. In part, however, significant part, he's working on our behalf. He's working in us. He's working through us. We are integral to his work, vital to his plan and to his kingdom. And when we come to understand this, I think it's a great help to the development of sound habits, a.k.a. for our purpose, the 12-step ministry.
Amen. Amen. And that's what we...
As a matter of fact, I beg your pardon, thank you for your forbearance. As a matter of fact, Jesus is still working. Right now in the heavenlies, he's praying for us, and he's preparing a place for us, and he's getting ready to come back to take us back with him.
Exactly.
Praise God. You go, brother. I cut you off.
And he is acting in his people who he has here on this earth, those who are in alignment with his will. He is acting to will according to his good purpose. He's using them to save souls that haven't been saved. He's using them to lead people to right lifestyles who are living outside of what is a right life to live in Christ. He is using his people every day.
Well, if I can make that concrete. Look, you remember from the days of Saturday Night Live where two wild and crazy guys, you remember that gig?
Yeah.
Well, you and I are probably the two most fallen, flawed, foibled people alive, right?
Amen.
You know, that being said, we are, nevertheless, by his grace, God's instruments in this immediate moment. There is at least one person, no doubt several, if not many, of the this audience who need to hear what we're sharing. And so he is speaking his word, conversational style, through us to them. And I would long someday to meet at least one person who was moved and touched by this particular broadcast, by something you have had to say. We'll meet them in heaven. We may have to wait, but we'll meet them in heaven, and we'll have some wonderful conversations. But we are instruments right now to this audience.
Exactly. I had a marvelous experience the other day. I stopped past my old AA group. I had a moment at it's a 12:30 meeting. It used to be my staple. I used to be there all the time. And I had a young guy come up, a guy who used to be a young guy, come up to me and say, "Paige, so good to see you. You know, if it wasn't for you, I don't think I would be here today." And I thought, oh, my goodness, what a blessing. How can I, you know, this was probably 20 years ago. More than 20 years ago, way over 20 years ago, that I was desperately hanging around an AA group. Because I had nowhere else to go and nothing else to do, and I was clinging to the hem of Jesus' garment, and I had nothing else. And that was that AA group was the hem of Jesus' garment at that time. I didn't realize it. And this person came in, and all I was doing was just being a person there for the next person to walk through the door. And yet, and this, you know, 20 plus years later, much more than 20 plus years, because that was, I believe, was 86. He said, so much more than 30 years ago. He says, you know, if you weren't here, I don't know if I would have been there. There I was, God willing, and acting his good purpose through me, and I hadn't a clue. You know, it's so, and you know, for that guy, when I walked through that door, and he said that to me, God was willing and acting through him, because he was letting me know that all of my efforts hadn't gone in vain. If I hadn't saved but just one person, then my life had not been in vain.
Well, I love the text in Scripture. Is it in Galatians, where we are, or Hebrews, in which we are told that God is just, and what we do on behalf of his people, one that he sees and honors, even if the people themselves don't, and two, that the work or the labor is never in vain, ever. This came up in our Bible class earlier today. Of course, we're recording this broadcast. And someone was asking me about something that we do, and it was an honest question. It was not a loaded one. Why are we doing this? What good comes of it? And I had several answers that the questioner was happy to receive. But the fact of the matter is, many times I've done things in ministry and nothing has directly come of it, but other things, other blessings have come back by way of it indirectly. I'm looking at the front door and blessings are coming through the side window. Again, God is always at his work, but he knows better than do we. Paige, one more round together. Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler, returning with one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Paige, we've, I think, engaged in some enjoyable and constructive conversation, but I would really like you, in our final segment, not to put the onus on you per se, but is there something that comes forth from step two that you want to impress upon our audience?
The important thing about step two is that step two is just the beginning. We talked about some pretty heavy concepts here between you and I, and you and I have been on this journey for a long time. For the beginner, step two is just making the simple willingness to accept that there might be something out there other that's outside your scope of knowledge and understanding that might be able to help you restore your life, your culture, your nation, your world to sanity. That's all you got to do, is that there might be something else other than you. Because so far, man's directions have gotten us to where we are, and we're on the verge of self-destruction. Murphy's Law says that if it can happen, it will happen at the most unlikely time, when you're least able to handle it. So you can blow the world up, you will blow the world up at the most unlikely time when you're least able to handle it. We on our own are going to blow ourselves to kingdom come if we don't make a change.
It's interesting you say that, because the onset of the First World War was ultimately, at least in the immediate, you know, the ignition, was the product of something that had been put in place to prevent the war from happening. The very thing put into place to prevent the war is the exact thing that ignited it. So even the best of what seemingly is the best of our wisdom can backfire, you know? That's why we need to rely upon the wisdom from above. The wisdom that comes down from above, the Scripture describes it as being pure, you know, and fruitful and peace-loving. When you listen to, there's one guy in the political arena, I won't name names, it doesn't matter, simply the point. I actually agree with a lot of what he says, but he is so utterly arrogant in saying it. And I think to myself, you're missing the fullness thereof of what you're trying to convey to us. So there's always something to the human condition in its fallen state that, with the best of intentions, that can trip us up. It comes out of nowhere.
Totally. And we are, and we're all victims of it. No, the best of us are victims of it. We get an idea in our head, we think we figured it out, and we got it all figured out better than anybody else. You know, not to derange anybody, because I'm going to speak about someone who I greatly respect, and that is Brother Howard Camping. I watched him for 40 years preach the gospel, you know, read the Bible, and yet then as he got old and became senile, he got in his head that he could figure out when Jesus was returning. And Satan took that and tore his entire 40 years, 40, 50 years of consummate Christian labor. Satan tried to destroy it all with just that one thing.
And that's interesting, because you're discussing something, and you're speaking of profundity. There was where a man was derailed conceptually. Most of the people we would deal with within the framework of a 12-step program, they've been derailed attitudinally or behaviorally. Camping was derailed conceptually. And the results are frightening. Absolutely. I mean, his whole reputation. Now, behaviorally, there was another leading Christian figure by the name of Ravi Zacharias. A very sincere, godly guy, got derailed. I know he had terrible back problems. I don't know how that may have affected him, but he found himself seeking out the sexual favors of masseuses and the like privately. He was derailed behaviorally, and unfortunately, the adverse effect upon the ministry, like with Camping, was. Much like with our Catholic brethren and the pedophilia scandals, the adverse effects are devastating.
Devastating.
But all we can do is literally what step two says, cry out to God, knowing that he and he alone can restore us to sanity and therefore to right living.
Exactly. We don't have the formula. That's the first thing we have to do. Come to grips with the fact that we don't have the formula. It's God who has the formula. We are simply instruments of his will, and we need to humble ourselves before the Lord and let him lift us up so that we become instruments of his will, not instruments of our own. Once we've done that, then we've done step two.
You speak of humility. I would also add, in keeping with humility, which is essentially at the core of step two, even a touch or a smidgen of clarity. This woman clearly saw she needed Jesus. The prodigal son clearly understood he needed to be restored to his father. Anyone going through a 12-step program, in the very least, clearly acknowledges, I need help.
Exactly. And that's what you have to do. Clearly acknowledge that you need help and that there's something bigger and badder than you who could help. And, of course, we get the next step. Next month, we put ourselves in that power's hands.
I'm going to add to your little equation or ditty there. Bigger, we need someone who is bigger, badder, and better. You know? Yeah, see, let's go with the tripartite expression. It works like a charm. Two is good, but it's a little limp comparative to the three. You know, the power of a triple play in alliteration gets the job done, Paige. You should know that.
I know. I'm not as good as you, Bradley. You have that for that.
Well, hey, we balance each other out. You know, that's like frickin' Frack, Bob and Ray, Abbott and Costello. We balance out. You know, with just under a minute left, I often at funerals draw from Isaiah 40, and I know it's a text that's within the book for step two, and I love it. Do you not know, have you not heard, that the Lord is the everlasting God, the maker of the ends of the earth? He won't let your foot slip. Even young men, they may stumble and fall, but the Lord will pick them up. You will soar on wings like eagles. You will walk and not grow weary. You will run and not be faint. That speaks to every single human being who is at his or her wit's end and who now cries out to the Lord God Almighty.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And such a glorious state when you finally get to that state. It's actually a relief when you finally yield your power to the power of a God that's greater, or power greater than yourself, or yield to Jesus Christ. It's such a relief.
You have been liberated from a burden.
Exactly.
And that burden has been replaced by the grace and mercy of the Almighty. Praise God. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler, God bless you. Thank
God
you
bless
for
you.
Listening.